Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Ghost in the Glamour, a Lynx and Bogey Story by Elizabeth Hunter. Narrated by Melissa Moran. Morning, Cupcake. 2002. It was the smell of cigarette smoke that woke me that morning. I twitched my nose and stretched out my legs before I rolled over and into the beam of morning sun that came through my window. I could feel the sheets covering my legs ripple in the breeze my window caught. The scent of Venice Beach in the morning drifted through my window. Salt and coffee. A little trash. And cigarette smoke. That smell hadn't been in my nan's house since my grandfather had died when I was 10. 3 years later, it still reminded me of him.
"Morning, Cupcake," a gravelly voice said.
I rolled over with wide eyes, and I screamed. I screamed bloody murder.
"Oh, for—" the ghost winced. "Will you quiet down, kid? If I wasn't dead, you'd have ruptured my eardrums."
He pinched the bridge of his nose. "Mom!" I scrambled to the corner of my bed, my head resting against the giant orange star I'd painted on the wall. "Nana!" I pulled the sheets up to my chin. I heard frantic steps pounding up the stairs. "Linz? Lindsay?" Both my grandmother and mother were shouting my name, but I was frozen, staring at the ghost. I don't know why I was so shocked. I was 13. I'd hit puberty the year before, and to be completely honest, a ghostly visit was overdue. Kind of like my boobs. I was still waiting for those. But the ghost thing? My mom and Nan had begun glancing at me with concern when they thought I wasn't looking. Surely Lindsay wouldn't be the first Maxwell woman in 400 years. "Who is it?" The door burst open. My mom came right to me, no doubt suspecting the reason for my panic. "Lindsay, baby, calm down." I was shaking my head back and forth, my mouth shut and my eyes like saucers. Nan stood in the doorway. "Well, it's about time. I'm sorry you've had a shock, love, but there you go. First visit all over, and I'm sure you'll be able to—" "He's still here." I pointed at the corner where the strangely corporeal spirit was. I knew he was a ghost. Why? He had that tiny bit of halo around him. Not the kind of halo you're thinking of, trust me. This ghost didn't look like an angel, but that little glow around the apparition did let me know the creepy old guy sitting in the corner of my room wasn't human, which meant he couldn't hurt me.
"Oh?" Nan was surprised. "Well, that's considerate."
"Why?" I shouted. "How is that considerate?"
"He could have just flitted in the room and out again," Nan said.
"Or done the weird peripheral vision thing," Mom added. Nan shuddered.
"I hate that. My first spirit played around for weeks. I thought I'd go mad." I groaned and hid my face.
Why me? Why did I have to be born into a family of freaks? My mom stroked my hair.
"Linz, calm down. We're Maxwells. We are not afraid of ghosts."
The old guy was just sitting in the corner, his legs stretched out, his thumb tapping on the edge of the purple-painted armchair he was sitting in. He looked like he belonged in a black-and-white movie, complete with slicked-back hair, suit, and tie. He was even wearing one of those old-fashioned hats. Not a top hat. I think they called it a fedora or something. The ghost sighed and looked around my room.
"Trust me, kid. I'm not any happier about this than you are."
His clear disapproval of my obviously awesome living quarters made me sneer. It also calmed me down, which was good, I guess.
"Are you okay?" my mom asked.
"Yes." And kind of annoyed with judgy, the not-friendly ghost over in the corner.
"Good."
My mom took a deep breath. "Now, have you greeted the spirit?" I shook my head.
"Lindsay, that's not acceptable. Just because someone is dead doesn't mean they don't deserve the same level of courtesy."
"Hey," I pointed at the corner. "He called me Cupcake, so why don't you give him the lecture? Is that polite?" My mom and Nan's eyes both swung toward the corner, and even though I knew they couldn't see the ghost, they narrowed their eyes. "Besides, Mom, if you woke up with a weird guy in your room—"
"Cut that out, will ya? I'm not some pervert," the ghost scowled. "You think I got any control over this mess?"
I glared. "Why are you even here?" Lindsay Evelyn Maxwell, my nan warned. Manners, Linz. I ignored them both, which was not unusual. And don't call me Cupcake again, I pointed my finger. Do I look like a cupcake? He scoffed.
You look like a 12-year-old boy. Who cut your hair? The lawnmower?
I scrambled toward him and off my bed with a raised fist, only to collide with the purple chair in the corner. I whirled around, and he was leaning against the door to my bathroom.
Listen, kid.
Shut up! You're a big, giant jerk, and I want you out of my room. Now! I crossed my arms over my non-existent boobs, still self-conscious about being in my PJs in front of a strange man, even if he was a ghost. To other people, I may have seemed like the quiet, artsy girl who hovered on the edge, but in my family, I knew how to make my voice heard. I had to. Respect for personal space was not a Maxwell family value. Everyone waited, but the spirit made no move to leave or disappear, dissolve, whatever he did. I wasn't sure quite what to expect.
Is he still here? Mom asked.
Yes, I glared at him. I don't want a creepy old man in my room right now. Or ever.
Hey, he put his hands on his fists. Don't call me creepy. And I'm not that old. It's not like I knew my medium was going to be a pipsqueak kid.
I am a 13, dude, and you are so old. I think my grandpa had a suit like that. Plus, you smell like cigarette smoke, which is just gross. I'm not the one with bad manners here. Get out of my room. You don't have permission to wake me up like that, ever. If you need to tell me something, find me when I'm in the kitchen or something. Being in my room is so not cool. I saw him sneer and mouth the words, so not cool, but I didn't budge. I could feel my nan and mom behind me, listening to my one-sided conversation. They didn't speak, and I was relieved. This may have been my first ghost, but I knew I needed to deal with him. I mean it, I said. You want me to shut the door on you? His eyes narrowed.
You can't do that.
Not yet, I admitted. But she can, I pointed to my mom. And she can too, I pointed to my nan. You want my first lesson of the day to be how to banish a ghost? Because I'm sure they'd be happy to teach me. Old guy just glared at me some more. The scent of tobacco grew stronger, and I knew he was mad. I'm a Maxwell, I said calmly. I know how this works, and I know I may be the only chance you get. So what's it going to be, dude? Boundaries. If I'd heard the lecture once, I'd heard it 1,000 times. You had to have strict boundaries with spirits. Maxwell women were powerful mediums, but give a ghost an inch and they would take a mile. They'd take over your life if you weren't strong enough. Haunt your days and nights. Never let you have the semblance of a normal life. Even drive you crazy. There were plenty of stories about that. Boundaries. Old guy and I glared at each other for what felt like ages. He finally let out a frustrated breath and said,
Fine, but please stop calling me dude. I hate that word.
Okay. Massive relief I tried not to show. So, who are you?
The name's Frank Bogle.
He started to put his hand out, then drew it back and stuck both hands in his pockets like he didn't know what to do with them.
Detective, LAPD.
I tried to think of any titles I had. Lindsay Maxwell, Art Achievement Award. Mark Twain Middle School? Nice to meet you, Frank. I'm Lynx.
Your mom and grandmother called you Lindsay.
Yes, but my friends call me Lynx, and I prefer that.
Cupcake. He started to fade away in front of me. Let's make one thing clear. I may talk to you, but I am not your friend.
2016. I woke smelling cigarette smoke. It could have been my neighbors, but the new couple living next door were tech people playing at the bohemian artistic life in newly revitalized Venice Beach, which meant there was usually some weed mixed in with the tobacco when it was my neighbors. Which could only mean...
Morning, Cupcake.
I groaned and rolled over, flipping Frank the bird over my shoulder while I tried to hide under the covers. It didn't matter. After 14 years with this stubborn jackass, I knew he wouldn't go away.
Let's go, kid.
We got a job.
Ghost Girl. You can do this, Lynx. You can do this. I was here. It was finally happening. My worst nightmare. High school. A giant knot sat in the pit of my stomach, and a ghost hung over my shoulder. Why are you even here? I hissed.
What else am I supposed to do?
Frank asked. Oh, I don't know. Leave me to suffer alone?
Why would I do that?
Tears threatened at the corner of my eyes. I was such a freak. People who thought I could start over were kidding themselves. Venice Beach wasn't that big a town. The people who called me a freak in middle school were still here, haunting my steps more effectively than Frank. And he was my actual ghost. You can do this, Lynx. No, you can't. You're an idiot, and everyone is going to find out who you are. Isn't there something called home study I could be doing right now? The last 6 months of eighth grade, the bullying at my last school had gotten so bad, my mom pulled me out and let me stay home to finish my classes. I'd aced them. School had never been that hard. Putting up with the taunts of ghost girl and freak were much harder. But then Nan decided I needed to give high school a try. There were art classes I couldn't take at home, she said. It was a new place with new people, she said. Okay, I said. The hope had lasted until a week before classes started. Then the terror set in. I could pretend I was leaving Ghost Girl behind, but eventually, I was going to have to abandon the sidewalk and enter the high school so I could find my first period class. When I did that, someone was going to recognize me or see me muttering to Frank, or I'd drop my sketchbook or something. It would be all over, and I'd be the freak again.
Kid, you gotta shake it off, Frank said. You're panicking. Panicking never got anyone anywhere. You're Lindsay Maxwell.
Lynx, Frank sighed.
What is wrong with Lindsay?
Lynx is cooler. It sounds like an artist.
Okay.
He was humoring me. I hated that more than anything. Frank, of all the days for you to pretend I don't exist, this would be a good one to pick. Just go away.
Sorry, Cupcake. For some reason, I get the feeling I need to stick by you today.
Ignore that feeling. I readjusted my backpack and prepared to walk up the path. And leave me alone. Just leave me alone. Just for today, okay? Just for today, let me pretend that I'm normal, that I'm just an ordinary girl.
God's sakes, kid, just relax, will ya? Why do you want to be normal anyway? Normal people are boring as hell. Pardon my language, but it's true.
I didn't tell Frank, but it gave me a little thrill any time he cursed in front of me. My mom and my nan would be appalled, but then they were pretty appalled that the ghost of a grown man was stuck to their 14-year-old daughter and granddaughter. Their horror at the situation was the only thing that made it bearable most days. Because most days, I wanted to murder Bogey, if he wasn't already dead. Okay, I took a deep breath. Here I go.
You're gonna be great, kid.
Shut up, Frank. Two boys pushed past me, looking over their shoulders and smiled.
Who's she talking to? One asked. A ghost, I guess.
They burst into laughter. I wanted to sink into the ground. Then I saw Bogey on the path ahead, walking back and forth through the boys who teased me, his presence making them so uncomfortable they looked like they were about to puke. Okay, maybe having Frank here wouldn't be all bad. Thanks, I said quietly when I felt him return to my side.
No problem.
Lindsay Maxwell? The teacher called.
Lynx, I answered. Just Lynx, for the fourth time that day. She was young and seemed cool. She made a note on the board in her hand and continued with the roll call. So far, I've been able to escape any kind of attention. I didn't care about making friends. It probably sounded lame, but I didn't need friends. I had my mom and my nan. I had Bogey. I just didn't want to become a target again. I was in fourth period, a French class I was pretty excited about, and I'd been assigned my favorite seat, back of the class in the corner. Bogey was leaning against the back wall, checking out my teacher with a little smile on his face. I shot him a dirty look over my shoulder and heard a muffled laugh from my left. I turned and saw a boy. A beautiful boy. He had skin the color of raw umber, green hazel eyes, and the longest eyelashes I'd ever seen. His lips looked like a supermodel's, and I could feel myself blushing bright red. I quickly looked down at my desk and pretended to ignore him. A note hit my shoulder. I unfolded it and read, "What did the cabinets do to you?" I looked over at him. He'd seen me glaring at Bogey. I just shook my head and went back to doodling on the edge of my notebook. Another note hit my shoulder. I looked up with wide eyes. Beautiful boys didn't pay attention to me. I was skinny and I wore black all the time, so if I got paint on my clothes, they wouldn't stain. Beautiful boys paid attention to girls with boobs, which I didn't have. Was this guy messing with me? Why? What had I done to him? He didn't look mean, though. His eyes were kind when he nodded at the note he tossed me. "I like your name," it said. I angled my notebook toward him. "Thanks." He angled his notebook toward me. "I'm Raoul. You were staring at your thumb when she called my name." I remembered his name. I just hadn't been paying attention to his face. Or to anyone's faces. "Your last name is French," I wrote. "Are you French?" "Haitian, but I speak French." "So why are you in this class?" "Easy A." I smiled. If I could get an A in supernatural communication, I'd take it. "Maybe you can check my homework. I suck at everything but art." It wasn't precisely true, but it felt like it most days. "I've never seen doodling that good." He nodded at my notebook. "That's amazing." No other compliment could have made me like him more. "Thanks." We had to pay attention after that. Our teacher, Mademoiselle Gerard, was passing out textbooks and explaining the syllabus. The hour flew by, and by the time we were packing up, French had gone to the top of my preferred classes, right under art. If nothing else, I could take mental pictures of Raoul to sketch later when he couldn't see.
"Hey," he said after the bell had rung.
"Oh my gosh, your voice is really nice too," I said in a rush. Raoul laughed, but it was true. His voice had definitely dropped early. There was none of that crackling most of the boys my age had. I turned bright red again. "Sorry."
"Hey, Lynx."
"Yeah?"
"If I tell you a secret, you'll stop blushing."
"I really doubt that," I muttered, hoisting my backpack on my shoulder. Raoul leaned in.
"Oh my gosh, he smelled so good," and whispered, "Girls aren't really my type."
He pulled back, winked, and stretched his arms out.
"I have lunch now. You want to eat with me?"
"Oh." "Oh." But he was kidding if he thought I was going to stop blushing. He was still way too handsome not to embarrass me. Wait, had he invited me to eat with him? I asked, "Don't you already have friends here?" He shook his head.
"Not one with a cool name and insane artistic talent. You?"
"I was homeschooled most of last year," I said quietly. "'Cause people kinda suck." A flash of understanding in his eyes.
"Yeah."
"But I'd love to sit with you for lunch, if you're inviting me."
"Cool."
He walked out of the classroom and I followed.
"Buying or bagging?"
"Bagging. My nan, my grandma, thinks the food the school serves is made of poison and plastic." Raoul laughed.
"She sounds like my grandma."
Bogey followed us down the hall, hovering over my shoulder.
"He's a good one, kid," Bogey said quietly. "He's the kind worth knowing."
"Yeah," I smiled. I had a feeling Bogey was right. Frank watched Lynx with her new friend, grateful for the kindness he saw in the boy's eyes. Frank watched them sit under a tree, chatting away, grateful she'd found someone she liked. High schools were so damn big now. When he'd been in school, he knew everyone in his class. He didn't know how that was possible at a big city school like this one. It looked more like a college campus to him, except high school kids were still little shits. Lynx attracted more attention than she realized. When she grew into her face and got more confident, she was going to be a looker. Those boys harassing her that morning weren't just teasing her. He'd caught them giving her the eye, but not in the innocent way Raoul was looking.
He'd felt the oily darkness around them, and he was keeping his eyes open. Lynx might think he was a hard ass, but he worried about her. The last year at her middle school had been hell. Sometimes, he suspected Lynx left her room just so she could give him shit about following her. It was the only thing she seemed to enjoy about her life. That and her drawing. He was grateful when Peggy had convinced her mom to let her study at home. It wasn't like Frank didn't know his little medium was in for a rough time being stuck with him. He tried to give her as much privacy as possible. But other than a few nudges he got from passing spirits, Lynx's life was his life. He was stuck with her the same way she was stuck with him. Lynx was his now, whether she wanted it or not. Frank kept his distance in the shaded courtyard, keeping watch over Lynx and Raoul as they got to know each other. The new boy was smart enough to keep her interested, perceptive enough to realize Lynx wasn't like other girls, and confident enough that he didn't make himself a target. Frank approved. He saw the two boys from earlier in the day spot Lynx with Raoul. Their lips curled, and Frank drifted over to listen in.
Ghost girl. I heard about her. She has, like, serious problems.
Mental problems? The other boy asked.
Something.
The first boy nodded at Lynx and Raoul.
Looks like she found another freak like herself.
Both boys looked like the stereotypical cool kids Frank had become accustomed to seeing in Southern California. Both were Caucasian with blonde-tipped hair that might have been from the sun or a bottle. He couldn't tell the difference. They had deep tans and spiked hair. Their t-shirts had the name of a surfboard brand on them and looked pressed. Spoiled rich kids, Frank thought. Interchangeable and boring. Nothing nearly as interesting as an antisocial little artist with acidic humor and drank her coffee black. These two didn't deserve to breathe the same air as his girl. He could feel his irritation turning darker.
I don't even get why freaks like them are allowed in school,
the second boy said.
Shouldn't they have, like, separate schools for freaks?
Both boys laughed.
Shouldn't they have separate schools for idiots? Frank muttered. I wonder if I have any classes with her,
the first boy asked. His eyes were gleaming, and Frank caught the scent of a predator.
This one could be dangerous. Not likely. She's a freshman, dude. Maybe I'll find a way to get to know her, he sneered. Give her a proper welcome to high school.
The burst of rage was quick and enervating. Frank took advantage of it, shoving his hand on the back of the boy's head, pushing his face into the tray of spaghetti on the table.
What the fuck?
The punk sputtered as he wiped his face and stood.
Who did that?
Frank checked Lynx, but she was all the way across the courtyard. She hadn't even noticed the boy. The punk was standing with red sauce on his face, glaring at all the kids laughing around him.
Hey, Jordan, one girl said. I think you have a little something on your face.
She had a coterie of girls around her, all giggling at the boy named Jordan.
Something on my face? Isn't that what I told you last night, Ashley?
If looks could kill.
Frank drifted away from the drama at the lunch tables, satisfied that the boy's attention had been averted. No one was looking at Lynx. All the attention seemed to be toward the kids at the lunch tables. Still, Frank would make a note to keep an eye on that Jordan kid. Bullies didn't care if they picked good targets for their age. They just picked easy ones. Far off on the grass, Lynx laughed at something Raoul said, and the sound lifted the dark cloud Frank had been under all day.
Remember, kid, you don't need a lot of friends. You just need one if they're good.
Lunch with Raoul was so much better than I ever could have guessed. Raoul was awesome and funny, and everyone ignored us, except some of the girls who were checking him out when they thought he didn't notice. Raoul noticed, by the way, every single one of them. He noticed everything, but he actually seemed to like me. Plus, he was great at giving tips about who to avoid and how to fly under the radar with the older kids. By the time I headed to art, my last class of the day, I was hopeful I'd be able to avoid the stigma of junior high. I figured if I could get through the first week of high school without attracting any attention, people would leave me alone for the year. They'd have their little groups, and I'd be safe. I'd made it to the classroom. I could smell the paint and lingering scent of turpentine. I was almost home.
Ghost girl,
a voice said behind me.
My stomach dropped. I didn't want to turn, but I couldn't stop myself. It was the boy from this morning, but he was wearing a different shirt. He looked older than me and much bigger. I ignored him and practically ran into the classroom, Bogey at my heels. I could feel his aura, all spiky and dark, but he couldn't do anything. It took a lot of energy for a spirit to affect anything in the physical world.
"Ignore him," Frank said. "Get into class. Go introduce yourself to the teacher."
Yeah, 'cause that didn't sound dorky at all.
"Ghost girl,"
the older boy called again. The sick laughter was all for my benefit. He knew he was getting to me. I walked to the front of the empty classroom to see a Latino man with a gray ponytail making marks in his book. He looked up over half-moon glasses, and his dark brown eyes met my panicked ones.
"Can I help you?"
he asked slowly. I'd purposely rushed to art. I wanted to get the best table if I could. I was the only one there. Me and my new tormentor.
"Hi, my name is Lynx, Lindsay Maxwell, and I'm in this class, and I just wanted to know if I could get a seat by the window because I love natural light when I'm painting, and also I love art."
I blinked hard, praying that I wouldn't cry. I'd almost made it. This morning when I woke up, I knew two things. I would make no friends in high school, and art class would be my sanctuary. It was the one thing about high school that I was really excited about. The whole reason I was here. It looked like I might have been wrong on both points. I think I had a new friend in Raoul, and art class might just be the worst. The boy hadn't left the classroom. He was standing behind me, excited by my fear. I could feel him feeding on it like a parasite. The teacher looked at me, then looked at the boy behind me.
"Can I help you?"
he asked the boy.
"Yeah, I'm in this class too. Can I sit by her?"
"No, no, 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 no."
The teacher looked back at me, and I tried to communicate how much I did not want this guy anywhere near me. I could feel Bogey walking back and forth through the kid, trying to throw him off. It wasn't working. The boy was too excited by my discomfort.
"You look a little old to be in beginning art," the teacher said.
"What year are you?"
"Junior,"
the boy said.
"But I'm behind on my fine art requirement."
"And what's your name?"
"Jordan Konseki."
"Hmm." He scratched his pencil on his temple as he looked at his book.
"Well, I'm Mr. Rivera, and I'm afraid I don't have you on my roll, Jordan. I'm transferring into this class,"
Jordan said. "I bet you are, asshole."
"You already talked to your counselor about that?"
Mr. Rivera said.
"I will."
"I'm not sure we'll have room."
The teacher met my eyes, and in that moment, I knew I had an ally.
"You'll have to get approval from me and your counselor." "I told you, I need it."
"Talk to your counselor then," he said.
"For now, you can take the front corner desk. I don't have time to deal with this right now, Mr. Konseki. Sort your schedule out with your counselor after school, then come talk to me."
The boy didn't leave. I could feel him hovering at my back. The teacher cocked his head.
"Didn't I tell you to take your seat?"
"Yeah."
I felt him retreat. I stood in front of the art teacher, shoulders slumped. I could see his seating chart. He had plenty of spaces. Jordan Konseki was going to make it into this class if he wanted it. I'd be dealing with him all year in the one place I'd hoped would be my refuge.
"Hi," the teacher said. "Like I said, I'm Mr. Rivera. Lynx is a cool name. Do you prefer that to Lindsay?"
"Yes, please."
"I believe you're on the third row back closest to the windows, Lynx."
"Good light," I said.
It was hard not to feel defeated, even though I was thrilled to be closest to the windows.
"It's a good seat,"
Mr. Rivera said. He dropped his voice.
"Do you have a problem with that young man?"
How much to tell? What to tell? I didn't want to be the complaining girl, the girl who cried bully. Complaining about the harassment at my middle school had done nothing but make it worse.
"I don't know him," I said.
"That's not what I asked," Bogey said. "Tell him. Tell him, Lynx. This guy gets it."
I took a deep breath. I don't know.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?